Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. We are happy to have you here today to worship with us on Mother's Day. A warm greeting to all mothers and daughters and sons that are here today. You know, we're also thankful for the mothers that we have and we have had. They've all left an important dents in our life. Thinking about the stories of sitting on my grandmother's lap as a child and, you know, those great memories through the ages, grandparents and mothers, they're all so special and important to us. We're glad to have you worshiping with us. I'd like to highlight a few of the announcements. You'll find that your bulletin is full of lots of announcements, so please take time to read the announcements in the bulletin so you know what's happening in our community. Some of the ones that I'd like to highlight are, I'd like to highlight that tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. is our Every Member Council meeting. We encourage all to come out and be a part of our meeting. The agenda is in the bulletin. Of note, we will be calling a new set of deacons for our church family. So I would encourage you to prayerfully consider that and think about that as you prepare to come to council meeting tomorrow. The other announcement I'd like to highlight is that in Mount Etna, the Little White Church once a year has a worship service, and they'd have asked us to highlight that next Sunday, May 20th at 2:30 p.m., they will be having a church at the Little White Church in Mount Etna. Randy Leitzel is the pastor at Zion United Methodist Church in Myerstown, and he will be bringing the message. And David Schell is the organist. He's also from the Zion United Methodist Church. Please come out and enjoy the fellowship. Also, next week on Sunday evening here at church at 6 p.m., we have an ice cream social down in the fellowship hall. Ice cream social and games, so we encourage people to come out and enjoy the fellowship with one another. Today is the last day to put your call slates in the box. If you have not taken the opportunity to complete a call slate, it's to call people to our ministry teams and to positions of delegates for district conference and annual conference and some other positions within the church. There are pink papers back in the narthex. Please take time to fill that out before you leave today and put it in the box. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to highlight? If not, we'll join in worship, and I invite you to sing as we join in our singing. The words will be projected.
Please rise, if you will, and join us in singing In the Secret.
Still miss you all day. Church family this morning. We do have a birthday celebration among us this morning, and there'll be flowers on the altar in honor of Earl Ebling, who turns 80 today. So why don't we join in singing happy birthday to Brother Earl this morning on the count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Earl. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Earl, and happy birthday to others celebrating birthdays this past week or this week coming up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Your Holy Spirit is present with us. We thank you, Father, for meeting us in this place exactly where we are. And Father, you know what we're going through right now. You know the struggle we've had already this morning. You know what this past week has brought us through. And we're just praying, Father, you would continue to be with us. You would be still in our midst and enable us to know you and to sense you and to be able to move in the direction in which you call us. So we thank you, Father, for the heart that we can have that beats like your heart. We thank you for the mind that can be like-minded to your mind. And we thank you for the ability to be able to care for one another and love one another as you would have us love one another. So we just surrender our lives to you. We submit our lives to you. And we ask you, Father, that your will would be done. And we just thank you for Little Swatara. We thank you for each individual gathered here this morning, whether it's their first time, whether they've been coming their entire lives. I pray your just abundant blessings upon each one. And we just thank you, Father, for, again, those upon our hearts even now. And we come before you in silent prayer. And we ask, Father, that you would hear those prayers and that you would also hear our prayers of confession. Thank you, Father, for hearing these prayers during these next few moments of silence. Prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you. Your Son Jesus paid the price for all of our sins on that cross. We know, Father, when he died, he didn't stay among the dead, but he rose again, and we serve a risen Savior, and we rejoice in that knowledge this morning. For we know that we have a God that is real, that we have a Holy Spirit that walks alongside us, that comforts us, that guides us. And we just praise you this morning, Father, with all that we have, knowing that this life will give us trouble. But amidst that trouble, we know that we can call upon your great name. And we do so this morning. We do so every day of our lives. For we know that in the midst of anything we're going through, you are always good. So we thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Father, for your grace. And we just pray, Father, as we walk through this life, that we would see others and we would see the love that we can show them because of you. And we thank you, Father, there are differences among us, that we're able to see that love and be able to see past those differences and be able to share community together. So we pray, Father, amidst this community, you would be glorified. We pray in our lives that we would shine a light brighter than any light in this world that might be trying to shine, because we know that it is the light of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.
Thought this morning, I'm reading from Genesis 14, verses 17 to 24. As Abram returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought him bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has helped you conquer your enemies. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Sodom told him, "Give back my people who were captured, but you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered." Abram replied, "I have solemnly promised the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. All I'll accept as what these men, young men of mine have already eaten, but give a share of the goods to my allies, Aner, Eshol, and Mamre." I'm hoping we can be like Abram and give back our tenth plus everything else that we are able to give thankfully. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we do have, and may it show in our offerings today as we give to your church and to your missions and to those in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come join me up front. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today is a very special day. Do you know why?
It's Mother's Day.
Yes, it's Mother's Day. Have any of you done something special for Mom yet?
Uh-huh.
No, not yet? Do you have something planned? It's a surprise. We better not talk about it yet. Does anyone want to share what they've done for Mom so far? Go ahead.
Gave her presents and cards.
Presents and cards.
And a book.
And a book. I bet she loved that.
Cards.
Cards? You mean Mom cards?
I mean Mommy a card.
I mean Mommy a card. Any flowers?
Yeah.
Moms like flowers too, right?
Yeah.
You know, gifts are one way we can show our love. And I'm sure moms also love to hear, I love you, Mom. Do you tell Mom you love her a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we should also do other things to help show Mom that we love her. You know, it's really nice to have this day set aside to honor mothers, and although we should thank them every day, today we take time especially to appreciate them. So moms do so much for us, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They do. And they especially share God's special gift of love. Did you know love is a lot like this piece of paper I have here? I have a piece of paper and it says love on it. So I'm going to use this to show you a little bit more about love, about our mother's love and God's love. How many corners are on this piece of paper? Let's count them.
Four.
One, two, three, four. Right, four. What shape is this?
Rectangle.
It's a rectangle, right. So I'm going to share some of my love. I'm going to share some of my love. So I'm going to cut off a corner of my rectangle here. I'm going to share my love. So I'm going to share my love here. You can have some love. Now let's count how many corners we have. One, two, three, four, five. We have more corners, don't we? So I shared some love, and we still have more love to give, right? We got even more love.
Yeah.
Should we try it again?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I'm going to share some more love. I'll cut off this corner this time.
Yeah.
Let's count how many corners. One, two, three, four, five,
six.
Is that more than five?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Our love grew again. You think it's still going to happen?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to share some more love. Let's try one more time. One more corner, sharing some more love. Let's count how many corners now. I need some help. There's a lot more. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven corners. There's even more love. I shared love, and I have even more love to give. What shape does it kind of look like now?
A diamond.
Kind of, yeah. It's more round, isn't it?
It's
getting closer.
It looks like a hexagon.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's getting closer to even a circle shape, isn't it? More of a round shape. This is showing us that we can share as much love as we want because it never runs out. Love never runs out, just like your mother's love. The Bible tells us some amazing things. It says love is patient and kind, and it sticks around when we need help. Very similar to the love our moms give us. We have so many amazing women out there who share their gifts of love. So what are some ways that we can show moms our love for them? What are some ways we can show our love? Besides just saying, I love you, or giving gifts, what are some ways you can show your love? Clean your room. It's a wonderful idea.
Help
what else?
Help moms wash the dishes.
Help wash the dishes. Any other ideas?
Clean up.
Clean up, yes. Clean up after yourself. Very good. You could listen to what she's saying, obey her and the rules, right? Get along with your siblings. How about that one? Yeah, that's important. So these are all great ways that we can show love. Remember, the more love that we share with others, the more love we have to share. This is such an amazing thing. I want you to always remember to always share and show your love. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the gift of your love that never runs out. We thank you for all our moms, grandmas, and all the other special women in our lives who care for us with kindness, patience, and unconditional love. Help us to show and share more of your love. Amen. Thank you.
Bibles are up here on the screen. Again, Luke chapter 1, 26 through 34. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. You who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And please join us in singing "Draw Me Close."
Draw me close to you, never let me go. Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that is represented in your word to change lives. And we look at a dear mother of scriptures, your mother, Mary. And we turn to her this morning for wisdom, for guidance, for the ability to know her more and to be able to live lives that are worthy of the Spirit's leading in her life. And so we pray now, Father, you would open our ears, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to receive precisely what you would have each of us receive. And we give you glory in all things. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're focusing on the mother of Jesus. Imagine for a moment that this mother of Jesus, who has not yet known that she's going to be the mother of Jesus, is greeted by an angel. We've seen many scenarios throughout Scripture the past few weeks where angels have suddenly appeared. We know Mary was betrothed. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. But this angel appears to her before that marriage ceremony takes place. And this angel tells her this news that she's going to conceive, that she's going to have a child, and she's going to name this child Jesus. But we wind for a moment and think about Mary for a moment. Mary lived in this town called Nazareth. If you remember your scripture very well, you will remember a comment that said, "Nothing good could possibly come out of Nazareth." So Mary would have been a poor individual, much like a peasant. We could draw the conclusion this morning that Mary was probably illiterate. Mary wouldn't have been able to read the scripture, but she would have gone to the temple to hear the teachings. So she would be familiar with this prophecy that there was a Messiah to be born of a virgin. Lo and behold, did she know that she would be that virgin? Now, Joseph, in his right mind, according to what the laws were of that day, decided to quietly divorce Mary. And for the reason being, divorcing her would keep her from being too disgraced. And so Joseph, too, has an angel appear to him saying, "It's okay. Don't stress. Don't worry. Take Mary to be your wife." Now we know that it wasn't until after Mary had the baby Jesus that Mary and Joseph consummated the marriage. But think about Mary for a moment again. Mary was a lot like you and I. Mary was ordinary. Mary wasn't a very popular person. Mary wasn't a famous person. Mary was just someone ordinary. But God does something extraordinary through the ordinary. And we've seen it amidst our own congregation where God can take someone who's just an average person and do great things through them. But what we recognize in the scripture this morning is that Mary had to be willing to say that I'm okay with what's about to happen. She had to trust God. We know the scripture says that she was favored by God. What that means is favored is also given grace. So Mary was given grace in order to bring forth grace through Jesus. And so as we look at Mary further, we also recognize, many scholars say, she was 12, 13, or 14 years old. You'll notice on the screen to the far left, my dear daughter Abigail at age 13, and the rest of those individuals, I'm assuming, are also in that range of 12, 13, or 14. Now, when you look at a 12, 13, or 14-year-old, you don't picture someone who's engaged. You don't picture someone who's going to be becoming a mother. You picture typically a junior high student. So junior high students aren't really all that surrendered quite yet to what the Lord may have in store for them. They may be dreaming big dreams. They may be having plans of their own that this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. But Mary may have had those thoughts, but Mary has now been interrupted by an angel telling her, "You're going to conceive, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah." Imagine if you're in junior high, what that would look like in your life. All your plans, you're engaged, you're ready to get married, and suddenly God says, "No, you know what? You're not going to go into that particular direction. I'm calling you this direction." And so the encouragement from Mary as the mother of Jesus this morning is being willing to trust God in his plans. For we know that our plans are nothing compared to the plans God has for us. Amen? So now, the Catholic brothers and sisters, I love them dearly, but if you notice a picture of Mary according to the Catholic faith, she looks much older, doesn't she? If you were to take a guess, I would imagine she's in her late 20s. She's in her early 30s, perhaps. But that picture doesn't do justice to what Mary would have looked like. She wouldn't have been wearing nicely worn clothes like that. Those clothes that Mary would have had would have been a little more ragged. They would have been not quite as festive as what we see in this picture of Mary according to the Catholic faith. Now, while we're viewing Mary from Catholicism, it's also important for us to recognize if we were to speak to Mary, Mary herself, she would not say, "Worship me." Mary would say, "Worship God." So we recognize in various religions, various faith practices, that there can sometimes be misalignments. We love our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith. Some of you here may have been part of the Catholic faith, but recognize Mary would not want you to worship her. Mary would not want you to pray to her, for she herself was subject to the grace, to the salvation that Jesus, her son, offered her. But this does not mean we don't pay tribute to Mary. We don't say thank you to Mary for what she was willing to surrender and do. If we were to ask any teenagers here this morning, would you be willing to give up your engagement to the guy of your dreams and say, "Yes, Lord, I'll become pregnant, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and give birth to the Messiah"? I doubt many of you are probably willing to say, "Yeah, you know what? Sure, I'm willing to do that." But Mary trusted God. Mary knew God had a plan for her, even though she may not have felt worthy of that. And Mary surrendered. And that's our call as we live among the Christian faith, to surrender to God's plans. Mary went on, she conceived the baby, and they went on to have other children, half brothers and sisters to Jesus. But note, Mary was indeed a virgin. It was impossible without the interceding of the Holy Spirit for her to become pregnant. There's many terms that are used to describe that miraculous birth, that immaculate conception. But what we believe and what we trust is what the Word of God says, that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon her and she conceived the Christ child. Now in Mary's mind, as she was being told these things, Mary had questions. She was troubled by what the angel was telling her. And as we look at our faith and we look at the journey that we've been on, there have been times where we have questioned what God has written in his word. We may question the circumstance we find ourselves in. But that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we have unbelief. It's not saying that we no longer believe in God based on what his word's saying. We no longer believe in God based on what's happening to me or around me. We're simply saying we have questions. And God gives us permission to have questions amidst our faith journey. Some of those questions are able to be answered. Some of those questions, well, we're going to have to wait until we meet God face to face. But know that Mary is an example for each of us. Know that in the midst of being a mother, that Mary can speak into your life and show you an example of being trustworthy of what God has for you, of being willing to be obedient, even to the point where in that society she could have been made an image of. Had they taken this as far as they could have stripped Mary naked. They could have beaten her. They could have verbally abused her. They could have put rags on her and tied her to a post and made a spectacle of her. But God had other plans. You see, Mary is an example for all of us. The mother of Jesus. The one who demonstrates to us that it's okay to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me." And so no matter our age, whether we're teenagers, we're children, we're older, God still is at work in your lives. He's not giving up on any of us. He's still using you until the day we meet him face to face. It's important for us to remember that as collectively, as a community of believers, we draw near to him and we go forth in his mission to reach others. Mary's just one phenomenal example for us to realize how important it is to trust God's plan, to be obedient, and to realize that his grace is upon us. We can have questions, but that doesn't mean we have unbelief. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that there are so many mysteries of the Bible, this virgin birth, one of them. But Father, we trust in your word. We know that you have a specific plan for every single one of us. Many of us have lived into that plan and are enjoying your fellowship in a real way. Some of us are at an age where we're still dreaming our own dreams, making our own plans, and we're seeking you, but we're not totally surrendered. So we pray, Father, in this very moment that you would help us to submit, to be obedient to your call. And maybe it's not the direction we're going. You're calling us to go another direction. And if that be so, Lord, I pray that your will would be done, that you would accomplish what you have for each of us, and you would accomplish what you have for this church. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the example that your mother has given us. And we pray, Father, that we would be there for one another. We would support one another just as you supported your mother at the very end as you were on that cross hanging. And you said to your beloved disciple, John, that this is now your mother, and your mother to your mother, this is your son. Help us, Lord, in relating well to one another and loving each other as you have loved us and your mother demonstrated such love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Rise and join us in our final song, You Are My King, Amazing Love. We'll have the words for you up here on the screen.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. I'm forgiven. You were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
You are my King. you amazing love one more time.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I.
Scripture, Mary was the only person to see Jesus born and to see Jesus die. And some of you among us as mothers have had that same experience where you've seen a child born and your child die. And today is a day of great hope because we know this amazing love that God has for each of us. He has a joy that is incomparable, and he has a grace that carries us through every single day. And we lean on our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, to see us through. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amazing love.